him another hand. Amen. God bless him. Won't you pray with me? Won't you pray with me? I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. So consecrate us now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace, your grace divine. And then let our souls look up with that steadfast hope, and let our wills, our intellect, our emotion, and all that we are be hidden behind the cross. And then resurrect Jesus so that we might see him nearer and clearer. And then let us be blessed, bettered, and benefited for having come. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. Bright Star, thank you for inviting us. Out of all the preachers in this city, you could have invited somebody else, but you invited us, and we don't take that lightly, nor do we take it for granted. So God bless you. To my friend, Brother Strayhorn, sometimes God puts people in your way, and you can't get out of their way, and they can't get out of your way. And he makes it so that your friendship is forged in doing things together. You all already know you have a great pastor. But I want you to know you have a great man of God. He is a man of integrity, both in this house and around the city. And so I count it a privilege and an honor when I hear him call me his friend. To this great church, to every one of its officers, God bless you, and we thank you once again for this opportunity. You have a theme: unity in the community. Romans, one of my favorite books, chapter 15, if you'll stand for the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6, and then Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. May the God of all steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Make allowances for each other's faults. Swallow hard on this next one. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you must forgive others. No wiggle room. Above all, man, if that wasn't enough, Lord, come on. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You may be seated in the presence of God. Your theme is unity in the community. There's a togetherness in unity. There's a certain kind of camaraderie in unity. There's a common sameness in unity. As a matter of fact, the Ebonic definition just jumps out at us. If you really just look at the word, unity simply screams you and I tied together. Can I mention just a few things that tie the believers together? We all need the same grace. Every one of us was at one time a sinner. Every one of us at one time was messed up from the floor to up to the ceiling. We all had a BC life. See, sometimes folk come to church and they act like they ain't never sinned, that they ain't never messed up, that they ain't never lied, but we all needed God's grace. That ties us together. Then we all have the same Bible. Let me see this. See, I really wish that more of us would bring this to church with us. As a matter of fact, this book gathers more dust than any other book in the library.
The Bible has 66 love letters written to God's children. But somehow, somewhere along the way, we have come to be bibliophobic. Somebody said, Lord, have mercy, what does that word mean? That means you're scared of the Bible. We're scared to pick it up. Y'all ain't talking back to me now. I must be stepping on toes. Scared to pick it up, scared to read it, because the book demands change. The Word of God produces something. I wish that the Church of God would get enough Word of God down on the inside of them that something would spring out from the inside and come out on the outside. When the Word of God gets a hold of you, you're different. Can I just stop and say happy birthday, Bright Star? 54 years. But I know this man's father, and I know that this church was founded on this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This church was founded on the Word of God. Don't be allergic to the Word of God. One of the other things that binds us all together, we all hope. How many people here want to go to heaven? Then we're tied together by hope. We all want to arrive at the same place. And as a matter of fact, if I didn't tell you this next thing, I wouldn't be worth 2 cents. We all have the same enemy.
Yes, sir.
How many of you have had trouble this week? Or trouble the week before? Or trouble the week before that? Or trouble the week before that? Songwriter says, trouble in my way? I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, but that's all right. Why? Because I know somebody who can fix all of my trouble. I got an enemy, and my enemy is devious. See, I came to tell you that you have a bullseye. If you're a believer, you have a bullseye on your back. The devil is out to get you. He's out to destroy your testimony. The reason you catch in hell is he wants you to give up. He knows that if you keep on fighting this fight of faith, Bright Star, that you're going to crush his head, and he don't want his head crushed. He knows that if you keep on telling other people about Jesus, somebody's going to get saved. So he's out to destroy you, and then he's out to steal your joy. Don't let him have your joy. The song used to say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world cannot take it away. Let me remind you, Bright Star, like Peter does. He says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil ain't your friend, he's your enemy. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to gobble you up. And he don't mind. If he can get to the preacher, he'll get to the preacher. If he can't get to the preacher, he'll get to the deacons. And if he can't, what the devil does is he plant tares in the church. Yes, he does. They will tear up the deacon board. They'll tear up the usher board. They'll tear up the pulpit if they can. They look like Christians. I want you to be aware, Bright Star, that everybody that says Jesus ain't a Christian. You got to be able to tell the difference sometimes. There's this tie that binds us all together. This tie can't be broken. It can't be burned or buried. It's unmovable and it's unshakable. It's the consolation of Almighty God. You ever had your, how many people in here have ever had your heart broke? You had your heart broke, if you had to cry. There are times in our lives that your husband and your wife can't help you. That's when you got to cry out to God. You'll find out that he's a God of consolation. He's a God that'll come to you late in the midnight hour when everybody else has gone to sleep. Everybody has forgot about you. But then there's God who's unmovable in his love for us. This God keeps us steady in the middle of a storm. I don't know how he does that. I just don't know how he does that, Strayhorn. But the winds and the waves all around us are going crazy. But you can be asleep. All hell is breaking loose on your job. And you can go to work and smile. Your children are going 24 karat crazy. But it don't faze you like it fazes everybody else. Because you're being kept by the power of God. I came to tell you, Bright Star, that it is God who is keeping you in this community. It is God who's making a way for you to go further and further and further. Never forget that the tie that binds you is the consolation of Almighty God. He's holding you and keeping you in the palm of your hand. And since God is doing all of that for us, we can do it for each other. We can do it for each other. Why?
preacher, why can I be calm when the Negroes around me are acting 24 karat crazy? Because the same God that brought you out has brought me out. So there ought not be any discord in God's house. The same God that delivered Daniel delivered you, so there ought not be discord and dysfunction in God's house. Together, we can both praise God. See, that's one of the reasons I love coming down here. Y'all don't mind praising God. When you we saw this morning, when you just began to praise God, I'm not talking about saying thank you. I'm not even talking about singing songs. I'm talking about, sure enough, from your belly, telling him how awesome he is, how fantastic he is, how marvelous he is, how he makes ways out of no ways, how no matter what happens, you're going to give him the glory. When you give God that kind of praise, the devil is allergic. Did I tell you that the devil has a hypoallergenic reaction to your praise? If you want victory, just begin to praise God. If you want a way out, just begin to tell God, I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to say like Job, yet though he slay me, I still serve him. I looked for God on the right hand and I couldn't feel him. I groped for him on the left hand and he wasn't there. I reached behind me, but he knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, I'll come forth as gold. God has a greater destiny. Can I just tell you today that your location, wherever you are right now, whatever the mess is right now, that's just your location. But your location is not your destination. Bright Star, I came to say happy birthday, but you're going somewhere. But on the way there, please remember that your time is short. We didn't come here to stay always. And as I look around at what's going on in the world, it occurs to me that our time on this planet is getting shorter and shorter. There are wars and there are rumors of wars. There are earthquakes and pestilences, typhoons and hurricanes in diverse places. There are mothers against daughters, fathers against sons, husbands against wives, workers against bosses. Time is getting short. Before you get home tonight, Jesus could appear. That would be glorious, wouldn't it? Oh, that would be a great time to be in church and leave church and go home. See, some of us think that this earth is our home. I got to stop by to tell you on your birthday, this earth is not your home. You're just passing through here. This is just a test. This is a training station. You came here so that you could give God glory. Right here on Lynn Street, Bright Star, your job is to be exactly what your name says. Be a bright star in a dark community. Be a beacon of light where there is no light. Be hope for those folk who have no hope. For folk who need a drink of water, take them to the living water. For folk who are hungry, get them to the bread of life. For folk who are trapped in prison, take them to Jesus, because he said, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Bright Star, I came to tell you on your birthday, your job is to be a city set on the hill. It's time. You know, when I was little, I loved to be outside. I hated to be in the house. So I would go outside. Only problem was I would be in clothes that I was supposed to be wearing somewhere else. Yeah. And so when I went outside, I played in the clothes I was supposed to be wearing somewhere else. And my grandmother, my mother, my grandaunt would say, boy, you got to wash up and change clothes. Well, why do I have to change clothes? Because we're going somewhere. I came to tell you, Bright Star, it's time for some of us to change clothes, because we're going somewhere. It's time to take off some of those dirty clothes that we used to have on, and now it's time to put on some clean clothes. It's time to take off the clothes of hypocrisy and put on some clean clothes. It's time to take off some backstabbing and backbiting and put, oh, y'all don't do that here. That's the church up the street and around the corner. Okay. It is time for us to stop being in disharmony and be in unity. Well, why? I'm glad you asked. Since God chose you, can I stop right there? God chose you. God chose you. The Almighty King of Kings chose you. The Great I Am chose you to be a holy people. See, holiness is not optional. on your birthday, I just stopped by to tell you God says it's time to dress up because you're going somewhere. Since you're going somewhere, God says, I'm going to tell you what you need to put on. Now, I'm going to start from the bottom because I think this bottom one is the hardest one to do. And I believe that if we just get the hardest one right, that the other things will help fall in place. Amen? Forgiving one another. Uh-oh. The hardest thing to do for Christians is not love one another. That's hard. But for me to forgive you when you hurt my feelings is hard. Oh, I wish I had an honest person or two in the when you cross me, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. But far too often, I'm like Robert. And Jesus gets set on the back burner. And Paul says, since you are going somewhere, forgive one another. Put on the garment of forgiveness. And when you put on forgiveness, be patient one with another. You know how sometimes we just say, oh, she just get on my last black nerve. I'm glad God ain't like that, because I would have got on his last black nerve with my first breath. But God is patient, and he puts up with us, and he keeps giving us chances and choices over and over again. Give him one more time, would you? When they step across the line, give him one more time. God gave you one more time. You still breathing. Give him one more time. And then be gentle. Some people are saved, but they're rough as sandpaper. They just rub everybody the wrong way. They don't seem to mind rubbing people the wrong way. And they'll tell you how saved they are. But Paul says to us, be gentle. That means I have the power to get you, but I'm not going to. Amen. It's not self-control. It's under control of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. Then Paul says, you ain't fully dressed yet. You got to display. You got to put on humility. Oh, my. Oh, my. Remember Jesus' example? Because it says that he took upon him the form of a servant. God became man. God Almighty took on flesh. How much did God have to humble himself to put on something that was not him? Just so he could help me. So that means if God took on something to help me, then I got to put on something to help you. I got to be willing. You know, I can't lift anybody until I stoop. I have to bend down to pick you up. But that's our job. Our job is to elevate each other. Yes, sir. In order to do that, I have to be humble. Yeah. This one trips me out. Kindness. Kindness is a predisposition, not just a disposition, but a predisposition to be helpful, to be sympathetic. So before I get to the situation, I already have to have the mindset that what I really want to do is help you. I ain't come to hurt you. I have to come to help you. And then Paul says, after you have that predisposition, then you have to be tender-hearted. Oh my goodness. Tender-hearted. That means I got to be compassionate. I have to look at you like Jesus looked at you. Then I have to treat you like Jesus treats you. Oh my goodness, bright star on your birthday. That's a whole lot that we have to do. But Paul says, wait a minute, Harper, I ain't done yet. There's one more. And above all else, love ye one another. Wait a minute. My God. Wait, I got to forgive you. I got to be patient with you. I got to be gentle with you. I have to display humility when dealing with you. I got to be kind and tenderhearted no matter what you do. And then on top of all of that, I am commanded, not encouraged, to love you. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love is patient. Love bears all things, hopeth all things, believes all things. And you know what?
When my faith gives up, guess what? Love endures. When my patience runs out, love endures. When I don't want to be tender-hearted or humble anymore, love endures. Love is the strongest thing in the universe. Bright Star, I just about to tell you that true love, real love, lasts. Oh yeah, true love is a Timex. Bet you didn't know that. True love takes a licking and keeps on ticking. True love keeps a family together when the world is trying to pull it apart. True love holds a church together and keeps people coming even though they may not agree with what's being said or done. True love binds us together. I remember a song when I was little, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to God above." The reason true love works is because God said of himself, God is amen. One day love came down and slipped into Mary's womb and got himself born. Love lived 33 sinless years. Men hated love so much that they hung him on a cruel cross. They had a mock trial. They found him guilty. They couldn't even figure out what he was guilty of. Can I tell you, he was guilty of loving them like they had never been loved before. They were so confused by this love that they hung love on an old rugged cross. But before they hung him on a cross, they put love down in the dirt. And I said this morning that if you stop and look at what's going on in today's world, love is putting brick down in the dirt. But I'm so glad that you can't keep love down. You can keep intelligence down, but you can't keep love down. When they put love on the ground, they thought they were killing him. So they nailed love to the cross, and they didn't pay attention to the scripture because love had already said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And strong men, foolish as they were, started hoisting love up. Don't you know that you can't keep love down? And when you start looking at love and start gazing at love, you begin to understand how tough, how strong, how invincible, how mighty love is. They hoisted love up and they dropped love down in the socket of the ground. And people watched as love oozed love out of the body of love so that other people could be the beneficiaries and the recipients of undying love. I don't know how God does that, but out of a body, he squeezes all the juice of love out of Jesus just so a dying thief can rejoice to see a fountain. Help me out, songwriter. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn, extracted from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, leave all their guilt to stains. Here's the one I like. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Why? How did it happen? Because love is in the middle. Can I share with you that if you put love in the middle of your circumstance, it'll give you victory. If you put love in the middle of your circumstance, it'll give you overcoming power. When you put love in the middle, can't nothing shake you. This love told life, hold on a minute, I got somebody, there's a hitchhiker over here that wants to go where I'm going. I told you, you have to change clothes because we're going somewhere. Hold on, death, I got to get this man dressed right so he can go where I'm going. What do you want? Sir, remember me when you're coming to your kingdom. I hear love say, all right, you're in, come on, you can go to the party. This day shall you be with me in paradise. And I see the man change clothes. Thank God for a change of clothes. He was dirty and dejected and about to die, but I hear a promise. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Who do you think the first person Jesus saw when he died and went into paradise? It was that dying thief. He didn't have on grave clothes anymore, but he was dressed and ready for a marriage. I stopped by to tell you, Bright Star, got to change clothes, because we're
we're getting ready to go somewhere. The Bible tells me that it won't be long till we'll be leaving here. It won't be any day now. Count the days as weeks. Count the weeks as months. Count the months as years. But before you get out of here, just remember to change clothes. Why? Because that same love, when they put them in the ground, refused to stay in the ground. I like that about love. Love refuses to stay hidden. Love refuses to hide. You know, when everybody and everything else is hiding, love says, hey, here I am. I got what you need. Here I am. I can help you out of your dilemma. I hear love as he said, listen, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And everybody I love, tell them I'm coming back. Love will come back one day. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a bride who's fully dressed. He's coming back and he's inspecting the wedding garment. So my friends, my brothers, my sisters in Christ, I want to leave you with this word. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding. Don't give up for love's sake. If your faith gets fragile, hook up with another believer. I just dare you. When your faith touches her faith and touches his faith, a fire will start and love will be rekindled. Well, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because payday is coming one day, and the Savior will give us according to our works, because we have a tie that cannot be broken. There is a threefold cord that can't be broken. The first rap is done by the Father. The second rap is done by the Son. The third rap is done by the Holy Ghost. There's a fourth rap, and it's called the church. The church is the body of Christ, and he's coming back for his bride. Can't wait. Don't you want to go? Don't you want? Then we got to change clothes. Got to change habits. Got to change dispositions. Put on that whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is coming, but God has already equipped you that you might stand.